This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tiny little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Aaron, I love bats. I would never pick one up. And I don't want one to ever sink its teeth into my jugular vein. But, I'm fascinated with them. You know why?
Why?
Echolocation.
Oh, okay.
At our previous house, we had woods, and we'd sit on the deck right at dusk, and that's when all the bats would come out. And they fly so silently. But they're flying around. They're grabbing bugs. And just the idea that with this sonar that they have, that they can see in the dark the location of the insects that they are preying upon, the same way you and I can see things in the light. I'm fascinated by echolocation.
Does this mean you also love the whales?
I love the whales more for the songs they sing. Yeah.
Okay.
And the blowholes, too.
Okay.
I like the blowholes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. Yeah, you remember when the whale was sick? I shouldn't laugh. I'm not laughing at it. But the whale was sick out in Puget Sound, and the way they were taking its temperature, this was about 3 or 4 years ago, they were holding a thermometer over the blowhole on a long stick, and that's how, which I understand is better than trying to do it rectally. But it, just the fact they could get the temperature by holding a thermometer over the blowhole, that was also fascinating to me. Yeah,
I'm glad our bat conversation took us to blowholes and whale temperatures.
I'm easily fascinated. Yeah. Hey, let me get to the fastest 15 here, for crying out loud. Okay, so Jay Inslee says that he is not ready to open the state of Washington on June 30th, even though the CDC says that we are 70% vaccinated, over 70%. Jay Inslee says, no, that's 18 plus. But Jay Inslee wants 70% of the 16 and older crowd to be vaccinated. And if you take all the 16 and 17 year olds into account, we fall down to 67.2%. So, I mentioned this on Twitter last night, that I want to go and get my next haircut without wearing a mask. So parents, would you please ignore all the warnings about heart inflammation in 16 and 17-year-olds who get the vaccine so that you can get Jay Inslee above 70% now? I can, the whole thing is just infuriating when you understand it is all about just a reluctance to relinquish this power that he's had for the last year and a half. He is absolutely reluctant to give that up. And then Dr. Jeff Duchin of King County Health, he says, yeah, this isn't over. Yeah.
The outbreak is not over, and the mask mandate is not going away completely. Those who are unvaccinated, and we still have a significant number of those who are unvaccinated in our community, remain at risk for COVID-19, both for acquiring the infection, getting sick, hospitalized, rarely dying, but also for spreading it to others.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you better keep those masks handy. Don't throw them away, especially if you're unvaxxed.
Don't throw your mask away, especially if you're unvaccinated. You're still expected to wear it in public around others who are unvaccinated.
Why does it matter? If you're vaccinated, who cares if the person next to you is not? And if the person next to you wants to assume the risk, let them assume the risk. But it shouldn't be a mandate anymore. And he even says, he told, all this was to Q13 News. And he even said, I'm sure some unvaccinated people will lie just so they won't have to wear a mask themselves.
We must understand that there are people who've already told us they're not going to be wearing masks and they're not going to get vaccinated. So I think everyone needs to just assume that when you're in a public space, there are other people who are unvaccinated and who are not masked. And if you yourself are vaccinated, you have a very high level of protection against them, but other unvaccinated people will be susceptible, children will be susceptible, and so on. So I think those of us who are vulnerable because we have underlying weakened immune systems will want to continue wearing masks and really understand that it's likely that some people who are not vaccinated will also not be wearing masks.
But he says, even if you are vaccinated, you might want to keep doing it. And you maybe should just think about wearing a mask forevermore.
And everyone should feel, that they have the option of wearing a mask if they just feel more comfortable, if they're at more risk personally, if they're in contact with a high-risk person and don't want to take any chance of spreading COVID-19 to them, even though they themselves may not become ill. Or if you're just, worried about transmitting to a younger person who admittedly is at less risk of developing severe illness, but COVID still is a significant illness and worth avoiding in young people as well.
Yeah, it's just they want to keep masks on people. Jay Inslee, he says that we're not going to change. We're going to include the 16 and 17 year olds, and we might miss the state reopening by June 30th deadline because of that. But he said,
we have saved tens of thousands of lives in our state. Because we have made decisions based on...
Time out. Time the flip out. We've saved tens of thousands of lives in this state? How does the data daddy come up with that? How many people in our state have died? I think it's about 6,000. Can you check me on that, Nicole? Number of COVID deaths in Washington state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But where does he get that number? That we've saved tens of thousands of lives. By what count? By what data? Data daddy? Florida's been open for months and months and months. Texas reopened long ago. And you're saying what you've done, even though those states aren't far worse off than Washington, what you've done has saved tens of thousands of lives? Man, I tell you what, when you're Jay Inslee, you can just pull together numbers out of thin air and toss them out there to make himself sound like such a fantastic leader. But I would love to see the data. I would love to see the studies. I'd love to see the medical information that says that they have saved tens of thousands of lives in our state.
5,800.
Okay, I was close. I said 6,000. Mm-hmm. So even in the peak of it, when Jay Inslee also was sending COVID patients into nursing homes, just like Andrew Cuomo did, so even at the peak of it, the total death rate, which is mostly senior citizens, 70 plus, is 5,800 in our state. And it's very sad for everybody who's lost a loved one. But for Inslee to say that he has saved tens of thousands of lives when the total number is just half of that or a quarter, I don't know how many tens of thousands means at least 20,000. So the actual death rate is between less than a third of what he says he has saved with all of his grand measures. Tens of thousands could also be 90,000. I don't know.
We have saved tens of thousands of lives in our state because we have made decisions based on science and good planning. And we announced this.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt him again. You made decisions based on science. So about a month ago, you told King County, we're rolling you back to a month and a half, told King County, we're rolling you back to phase two. And then a week later, nothing had changed. Now we're going to keep King County at phase three. Pierce County had the same numbers as King County, but we're going to roll Pierce County back to phase two. Pierce and King had the same numbers. One's in phase two, one's in phase three. What do you mean you based it on science? You guys made up everything as you went along. You didn't base anything on science. You're making it all up. Okay, back to the governor.
Plan several weeks ago so that everybody would know what the score was and how to keep score. We all knew that we were going to reopen on June 30th. This is very close. We are just on the 2-yard line here. No matter what happens, we're going to open on June 30th. It could be earlier if we hit this 70%. So that's how we keep score in Washington State.
I don't know what that means. That's how we keep score in Washington State. But he wanted us to know what a hero he is.
And I'm glad I'm a Washingtonian that has led one of the best COVID response, arguably the best in the United States. I'm proud that we're still saving thousands of lives of our state. And I'm proud that more people are continuing to be vaccinated.
Wait, you're saving thousands of lives? You just told us that you saved tens of thousands of lives. Wonder what the data is. Okay, so, and then there was this amazing stat.
I just want to tell you why I feel so passionately about this.
Oops. Okay, I lost my audio there. Here, let me pull it up again. Okay, Jay, where'd Jay go? Okay, here we go.
I just want to tell you why I feel so passionately about this. 98% of all the people in our hospitals today, some of whom are struggling for breath, some of them who may not survive, 98% are people who have not been vaccinated. We got to save lives. And this is part of saving lives for a few more weeks till we rely on the vaccine. I'm proud of the work we're doing.
Okay. Now, I will also tell you that 5 out of 6 pregnant women in America are not getting vaccinated. And that would suggest that OBGYNs are telling their patients who are pregnant that they should not get vaccinated because they don't know how it's going to affect the unborn. They have no idea how it is. And that's why I find this particularly reprehensible in our region, that they still want to get vaccines. They're doing it for 12-year-olds. They're testing it on 5-year-olds. And they want to get it in the arms of 6-month-old infants.
The next group for the COVID-19 vaccine trials are kids between 5 and 12 years old. Seattle Children's starts those trials next week.
Many of them are really excited about it. I mean, they want to know what research is. They want to know how they can help.
Kids.
Okay, there's a King 5 story from a couple weeks ago. And that's a doctor of children saying that 5-year-olds are really excited that they're going to be part of this. Yeah, I've never met a 5-year-old who wasn't horribly excited about getting a shot. That's their MO.
Will receive either a Pfizer vaccine or a placebo. Dr. Jana England is a pediatrician helping lead the trial.
And we're trying to get as many children involved as we can, but this will be a small study.
Nationwide, less than 3,000
kids. Time out. So they're going to give some of the kids a placebo, some the actual vaccine. So this is very much an experiment. And I still want to know what parent, and I'm not being critical if you're one of these parents, but I'm asking sincerely, what parent would want their 5-year-old to be part of a medical experiment? If you don't know, if you have no idea, you've already seen the teenage boys predominantly are getting in numbers that are alarming, heart inflammation, myocarditis, from getting the vaccine. And now we're going to test, we're going to have do a medical experiment on 5-year-old children. I would not subject a 5-year-old to that experiment when they don't know what the results are going to be.
Kids 5 to 12 will participate. The study will look at safety, side effects, and whether kids develop antibodies like those 12 and older.
Side effects. So you're going to take your kid in and hope they don't get side effects. I don't understand that.
Where does the number 3,000 come from?
That comes from the...
I've had enough of that. But, and then they said that they are going to start experimenting on 6-month-olds as well. So good luck with all of that, I say. By the way, I haven't said hi to Nicole, who's back for the first time since last week. You had a travel adventure. I was getting all your texts.
Don't I always?
Yeah, you have more travel problems than anybody I know.
I know. I'm kind of known for it. I don't know why I have this curse. Nothing so bad. Just things that kind of ruin your day.
Well, yeah, you get into Chicago and there are thunderstorms and you're late getting in and you couldn't get out. And
well, I was actually kind of excited because I had this layover in Chicago and I've never seen the city. So I the second flight that I was catching was actually only a 65-minute flight. So I was like, well, I have 4 hours in Chicago. I'm going to run into the city, see as much as I can, run back. Well, as soon as I got back, I found out. I mean, while I was touring Chicago, it started, I mean, torrential downpour, thunder, lightning, all of that. I was soaked from head to toe and ran back to the airport, got there. As soon as I got to the gate, they said it was an hour late. And then eventually they canceled it completely and bumped me to another flight, which was also delayed. And I ended up a 4 hour layover waiting for a 60 minute flight, ended up being an 8.5 hour layover. And then my whole 60 minute flight, we had lightning, a lightning show out the window. It was interesting.
But you, the last time you visited this friend in Indiana, you had a blizzard.
I don't think the Midwest likes me.
I don't know about that. I tell you what, love Chicago. I love Chicago, but my girls hate that city. They all hate it with a passion because that's where a car got broken into.
Oh, and yeah.
All their electronics were stolen. Oh,
taints your memories.
It was too bad because it was the greatest family trip, and we had just had a blast, and we were just killing time to go to the airport, and we went to the aquarium down the waterfront there, and then we get back to our van, and all their stuff had been stolen. We put it in the van instead of at the bell desk because there's a bus group coming in, and there were 30 people waiting to check their luggage at the bell desk. So we just said, we'll put it in the garage, in the car in the garage. There's a safe neighborhood, big tourist area. We're on the sixth floor deep in the garage. Nobody's going to come down there. Of course they did. My girls.
They were probably watching you put it in there.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's the city of big shoulders, you know. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
In 15 minutes, we'll give you the word. Hey, it's Wednesday afternoon. Brock Heward's going to come by for a visit. I got to talk to him dad to dad because he told me last Wednesday what they had coming up. So we'll have a little dad to dad talk with Brock next on the Dory Monson Show.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Heward.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With a 12s, hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Well, it is Wednesday afternoon, and that's when our friend Brock Heward drops by for a weekly visit where we delve into subjects unknown as of now. Hello, Brock. How are you?
Hello, Dory. I'm good. I just finished 2 hours of mowing and weeding and trimming, and I don't know why. As I get older, I find myself loving that work more and more. Why?
I'll tell you why. I love mowing, as you know. I have a pretty good-sized backyard. I have a rider mower. And one day my wife was laughing at me because I had earbuds in and I was singing along with it. And the song I was singing as I was sitting on a rider mower in the suburbs was Born to Be Wild.
And she could hear you singing over the mower?
Well, she was doing some weeding as I was riding by. Born to be wild. And so, what are you laughing at? She goes, rider mower is not very wild.
No, it's not. No, I think actually, Dory, you should try to push mow one time in your backyard. See how that? I actually had my heart rate monitor on over an hour and 50 minutes, and I got almost 1,300 calories burned.
I don't have that kind of time.
Sure you do. No. An hour 50? Sure you do.
You don't.
You're down at 240.
Sean's much bigger than yours.
Sean's got the show taped. You know, he finishes it off.
We don't tape out the final segment.
Sure
you
do.
Who do you think I am, John Curley?
And now you don't even have to drive home, right? Now you're just right out there. Just try to push mow half of it. Spend an hour. push Moen and then spend Born to Be Wild for the final hour.
Can I use at least a gas-powered mower? Do I need the old style where it's just a spinning blade that you with no electric power, no gas power, no nothing?
Well, no, I think you can do some gas power. Okay. I don't think the old school doesn't work too well.
I had one of those when I was I went to when I was about 10 years old. I went to neighbor to see if I could mow their lawn. But the problem is, it doesn't have a grass catcher, so then I'd have to rake too. It was a lot of work, Brock. I worked really hard.
Not worth it.
Yeah. Okay, so when we talked to you last Wednesday, you were about to drop your daughter off at college preliminarily for basketball training, but how was that? Because that's a tough time of life. It's an interesting time of life.
Yeah, I kind of rationalized it a little bit because I think it'll be a lot tougher in about 2 months when it's for the entire year. When we actually bring her closet up there and set up her dorm room, and you know, Molly does and loves to do the design work, so she's already got plans to make her room all cute and everything else. I think that will be a little bit emotional, but this was super sweet. Ty had a baseball tournament, stayed with neighbors. Macy had a basketball tournament, stayed with one of her teammates. So it was just Haley and Molly and I. And it was about a 12-hour drive from the suburbs of Denver up to Missoula. And we stayed Friday night in Billings after watching Macy play some hoops and then made the rest of the drive through Montana, which was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday morning.
Big sky country, you know.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. And then right before we met the coaches, I don't know if this was good or bad, but it was a lifelong memory. We pulled in this little barbecue joint. I don't know if I shared this with you yet. And let's just say it was kind of maybe the grittier, hippier part of Missoula. Haley likes her barbecue, so we go in there and I don't think Molly's ever ordered a beer for lunch. So maybe she was a little emotional. So we pull in, we park, we get our barbecue. I'm sitting next to Haley. Haley's dead across from Molly. Every humanoid that walks in is a little grittier than the other, whether dreads or tats or bowl nose rings or whatever you got. You know, just a lot of life, just a lot of flavor came walking in. And with every person, I could feel Haley, but Molly was looking right at her face, and she's like, and eventually the beer comes out Molly's nose and mouth.
It doesn't.
Oh, yes, it does. She just laughs so hard because she could just read Haley's face, like, where am I? This is the Star Wars bar. Where am I? What am I doing? I just want to go back.
Oh, no.
Oh, so it was so sweet. We all laughed, and then from there, we get to the basketball facility. We meet the coaches. We meet her freshman incoming teammate, who's also a little bit nervous. Her parents just had a kick in the pants for 3-4 hours, then a little barbecue with her teammates, and that memory was in their rearview mirror by a long ways. But yeah, that was one we will remember for a long, long time.
Well, here's what I was thinking about you. I'm wondering how your transition's going to be when Titus goes off to school, because I thought about this after you and I talked on the phone for a long time last night, and I realized every single time I call you, you are in the car driving to or from a kid's sports with one of the kids in the car.
Yes.
And as you know, because I talked to you about this extensively a few years ago, it was such a huge adjustment for me after, you know, coaching and just being at every event. And it's a huge transition for parents when your kids are as active as ours have been.
No question. And, you know, what's kind of crazy, too, is to think that Macy's going to be a junior. You know, I was chatting with you about that yesterday, and this is a big summer for her. And, man, she's going after it as far as pursuing just greatness with basketball and friendships. And just it's so fun, and she's so busy. But man, you're right. When she goes off to school here in about 2 years and it's just big old Titus.
Yeah.
With Molly and I, that will be a significant, significant adjustment. I would also say, so Saturday night, you know, we do the barbecue with the team, we get back to the hotel and it's Molly and I. And that was definitely like a wow, this is really happening. I think for Molly hit her a little bit more emotionally. And I think for me though, honestly, Dory, the last 15 months of change right, of this crazy, ridiculous pandemic,
sure,
of all of the choices that our leadership has made to shut things down, some of the grit that I think that produced, this move for us, new teammates for Haley, new friend group, new people. It just feels like Haley's really ready for this, you know, as prepared as she could possibly be, as any 18-year-old who's transitioned now already a couple times in her life.
Yeah, and that's, the kids were much more ready to go away than I was ready to let them go. I mean, that that was the reality. But the fact that they were so ready was, you know, so comforting too.
Yeah. But yeah, and you say it all the time, and we've talked about this over the years that I've joined you on these segments and through all of the different fun memories and games and events and just, you know, life that we've lived. You say this all the time, just go live. Just get, don't be on the sidelines. Just go play the game.
Yes.
And that's how you create grit in your kids, and that's how you prepare them. And, you know, even the coach said that, the coach to us, really nice guy, tremendous guy. And he said, you know, I've learned over the last decade or so, and I've heard this from a ton of college football coaches as well. They're like, you know, kids that come from good families and good kids and good homes. He said, the thing about it that I've realized the last 10 years is so many of them have a hard time failing. So many of them have a hard time taking risks that, you know, sometimes we put them in a bubble. Sometimes we keep them on the sideline. Sometimes, you know, we just don't let them go and explore and go fail.
Yeah.
And that's where growth comes, is in their failure and growing through it.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's what I say all the time.
Yes.
There are too many people, you know, young and old alike, who go through life on a flat line. Yesterday is the same as today, is the same as tomorrow. And, you know, the losses, you know, lost love, lost games, whatever it is, it's so powerful, the emotion, that we need that once in a while.
We do. We don't need lawnmower moms and dads riding out there singing Born to Be Wild.
Yeah.
We need their kids to be wild, to go play, to get out there, to be adventurous.
By the way, my most devastating coaching loss is a game you were at.
I know. Gosh.
Yeah, I still carry that around. But I know I'm alive every time I think about that girl hitting that shot at half court in the district championships that sent it to overtime where we lost. I was glad you were there for it.
Yes.
Appreciate you too. All right. That's Brock Heward. You can hear his Above and Beyond podcast, 710 Sports. No, 710sports.com.
Sure.
What's the website?
I think so. That sounds good. Yeah. AboveandBeyondPodcast.com. There you go.
AboveandBeyondPodcast.com. All right, Brock. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, man.
Just picturing you in your bandana later today, riding that mower, Born to Be Wild.
Yeah. I'll have my earring dangling. Good, man. Show off my tats. I'm going to roll up my sleeves. Born to Be Wild. All right. We've got lots more to come. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on. Rolls on.
Wow. Heavy metal thunder. Racing with the wind, and the feeling that I'm under. Yeah, I got it.
Oh, it was a tense standoff between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin today. Yeah, wasn't that tense? Joe Biden, he said that he did get after Putin because the cyber attacks on the meat distributor and the pipeline back in the East Coast, that they've been traced to Russian cyber hackers. And Joe says that he let Vladimir have it over that.
That cyber hit for $5 million, that ransomware hit in the United States. I looked at him and I said, well, how would you feel if ransomware took on the pipelines from your oil fields? He said it would matter.
He roasted him. How would you feel if we do that to you?
This is not about just our self-interest. It's about a mutual self-interest. I'll take your questions, and as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So, Jonathan, Associated Press.
What self-respecting president would say that every single time? As usual, they gave me a list of who to call on. So they can have planted questions. He gets in trouble if he doesn't go with the reporters that his handlers tell him to go to, because they've already prepared his answers. Since, you know, we'll let you ask the question if he tells what the question is, And then they can write out on those giant note cards Joe's answer. It's really sad. It is pathetic. He was asked if Putin, because he said previously that Vladimir Putin is a killer. Joe, do you still believe that he's a killer?
What do you say to Vladimir Putin?
To answer the first question, I'm laughing too. He has made clear that the answer is, I believe he has in the past essentially acknowledged that he was, there are certain things that he would do or did do. But look, when I was asked that question on air, I answered it honestly. But it's not much of a...
Well, his brain just locked up for about 25 seconds. But remember, he got more votes, 81 million, than any candidate in the history of the United States of America. That is impressive, impressive, impressive. All right, and then the thing, you know, he screwed up the Declaration of Independence a couple of times. But I'm sure that he's gotten that down. His handlers will never let that happen again.
I made it clear to President Putin that we'll continue to raise issues of fundamental human rights. Because that's what we are. That's who we are. The idea is we hold these truths self-evident. That all men and women, we haven't lived up to it completely, but we've always widened the arc of commitment and included more and more people.
He kind of went a little Jay Inslee there. The arc. Remember when Inslee tried to quote MLK? He got 81 million votes, so who am I to question any of this stuff? Then you have Vladimir Putin. So he was asked by an AP reporter an NBC reporter about the assassinations, that he has killed his political opponents. What about that, Vlad?
Of course not. We don't have this kind of habit of assassinating anybody. That's one. Number two is, I want to ask you, did you order the assassination of the woman who walked into the Congress and who was shot and killed by a policeman? Do you know that 450 individuals were arrested after entering the Congress? And they didn't go there to steal a laptop. They came with political demands. 450 people have been detained. They're looking at jail time between 15 and 25 years, and they came to the Congress with political demands. Isn't that prosecution for political opinions? Some have been accused of plotting to take over government power. Some are accused of robbery. They didn't go there to rob.
Man, he turned that around. You know, the accusation that you've poisoned and killed political enemies. He said, what are you doing? You've the people who went into the Capitol on January 6th, one woman was shot and killed. The shooter, a Capitol police officer, presumably some police officer, has still not been identified of who shot the unarmed woman in the head. And he says, you've jailed political dissidents in your country, just like you're accusing me of. He really turned that one around. And then Keir Simmons responded, reporter Keir Simmons, to Putin mentioning January 6th.
There you go again, Mr. President. What about America when I've asked you about Russia?
So, yeah, he kept turning it around to America and saying the U.S. has done everything as bad as he has. Now, I don't believe that to be true. But I do think we're in very perilous times where if you don't think like it's being mandated by most of the controlling party in power locally and nationally, these are really, really dangerous times. So it was just the difference between the two. And when Joe Biden's brain locked up for 25 seconds of silence or mumbling, you know, we had one of those yesterday as well. And it continues to be clear that he is a puppet regime or a puppet president for whoever's pulling the strings. I wish those 81 million people had known who was actually going to be president. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then the big lead at 2. We've got some amazing audio on what freaking out over the mask mandate still means deep into June here. It's coming up on the Dory Monson Show.